Welcome to episode 64 of Extra Features. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
Bob the intern.
We're back for another episode of fun and frivolity. And maybe, an estrogenless.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I kind of miss us.
It's just the guys, the three guys again.
You know, I was thinking that on the way over, going, it's going to be nice. It's going to be weird. It's been like 3 months.
Karen and Denver for quite a few episodes.
That was kind of weird. I'm like, we got the intern back. Kevin's back. We got a new recording studio.
Yeah, we're here in my new recording studio here.
Which I haven't even walked around. Literally, I just walked in, sat down, set up. Bobby gave me a wonderful sub, and yeah. Kevin gave me a drink, and we'll have some dessert later.
We're good to go. After the episode, we have dessert. But.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird, you know. I was sitting here for the show, and I have a couple movies on the go.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of think how I should be watching these. Should I be watching Arthur to watch the remake, or shouldn't I? That's what I really, I guess, is my question today. Because I have been watching Arthur, because Arthur opens tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, should I be watching one and two, so I have some idea what's supposed to be going on. But I'm told this one is totally nothing like those two.
No, I mean, really, I think the connection is eccentric rich dudes. I think that's about
it. Well, I think that's it. I think, Bob, do you know anything about the new Arthur?
Well, I know Helen Mirren's been replacing the Alec Guinness character, so that's
changed. Sean Gielgud, you mean?
Sean Gielgud.
And Paul something takes over in the second one. Guy from
I'm not sure.
Benson? He's got Paul Benedict.
Oh, okay.
Sort of got
yeah, I don't know about this one. I mean, I remember the original Arthur and the lovable drunk. But I'm not entirely convinced this is going to be that good. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm kind of hot and cold on Russell Brand. I can take him or leave him. I'm not really impressed with him either way so far.
I didn't really like him.
Katy Perry reference.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Katy Perry. I got it. Oh, sorry.
He's going out with Katy Perry.
He's married.
He's married.
So I think that's good. I don't know. Sounds good. I don't really have an issue.
I envy him for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, he got a few lullabies sent to him before bedtime.
You see, I didn't like this. What was it? Sarah Silverman? Or no? What was that movie with the girl from.
You're talking about the short blonde.
Yeah. The movie that preceded Get Him to the Greens.
Saving Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, Saving Sarah Marshall. I didn't like him in that.
No, I don't think anybody did.
But I did like him in Get Him to the Greens.
But he's better than Jonah Hill.
Oh, God.
In both movies.
Yeah. Well, Jonah Hill.
And the chick from Mad Men, the secretary, it just scares me at all times from Mad Men.
Yeah.
She does scare me. Peggy Olson, that's it.
That's right.
So what have you been up to, Bob?
Not much.
Your favorite time of year has started.
Yeah, Blue Jays. They've actually won 4 games with Boston today.
Well,
so that's 4-2.
That's okay.
4 games.
They're doing better in Boston. They're 0-6.
Yeah.
So, no emails from our good buddy Zach. So, Zach, I sent out to you. What have you been doing? I miss your emails. Zach, I need an email.
Dobby misses you.
Yeah, Dobby does miss you.
I couldn't even do the Dobby voice.
I know, because it just is not here. You know what's weird? I've been watching deleted scenes from Harry Potter.
That's kind of weird.
I know, like, random. I'm like,
just random deleted scenes?
Yeah, like, they're releasing the new. I think they're releasing part one on video soon, or DVD, So I keep watching the deleted scenes.
Okay.
And I'm like, why am I watching these? They're deleted. And this is not like me. And I start watching trailers, like old trailers, not new trailers.
Oh, wait a second. Well, there's something wrong with this picture. Simon doesn't watch trailers.
No, I don't, but I'm watching like Arthur trailer, Arthur 2 trailers.
Hit your ass.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get on with the show.
All right, well, we're going to crank through these movies.
Yeah, because they all suck.
And I think, so I'm looking at the list here. So the Bees are the ones you've seen, Bob?
Yes.
Okay,
great.
Good, because I haven't seen the first movie on the list, and that's Bright Star, directed by James Campion, starring Abbie Cornish, Ben Whishaw, Paul Schneider, Carrie Fox, Edie Martin, and Gerard Monaco. So who wants to tell me about this one?
Bob, take the lead.
Well, it's not a while ago. I thought it would be better than, because I heard good things about it. And then it was, the story of, what was it?
John Keats?
Yes. And I found it to be boring.
Boring?
Yeah.
Boring is not an operative word. Painful would be a more operative
painfully
word.
Painfully boring? How about that?
Oh, Kevin, I'm glad you didn't have to sit through 2 hours of watching the life of John Keats.
The poet John Keats.
Who cares? You know what? Some people's life stories I don't think need to be told. I mean, he's a wonderful poet, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed reading his stuff, but his time of his life...
So do you think this is just a case of too many movies are being made and someone has to find something to make a movie about?
Yes, that's exactly it. Because this Abbey Cornish was supposed to be getting an Oscar nod for this, is where I first heard about it. And said, oh, well, that sounds good. And Jane Campion has done okay work in the past. I wish I could think of something, but I didn't know...
The piano? Is that hers?
I think the piano may be hers. So I heard good things. I'm like, okay, well, I'll give this a shot. I'm like... There's a reason why this movie did not get an Oscar. It sucks.
Yeah.
John Keats is annoying. The actor, I think Peg Crenshaw plays Mrs. Boynish. And What's-Her-Face does nothing. Abbey Cornish, I've always waiting for her to have a breakout role. Everybody keeps telling me to look for Abbey Cornish, watch Abbey Cornish. I don't see it. I've yet to see anything from Abbey Cornish to do anything for me. And this movie, and John Keats is a bomb, pretty much. Like, he hangs out with his poet buddy who's obviously has something. He rents a house with him, and he gets sick and dies. That's really your movie.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Keats' book that he got published just before he died, I think just after it was famous, and then he became popular. But it was too late for him at that point. He died very young. I guess it was only, a couple years in his life? Oh, maybe a year? But he doesn't do anything. He's a dull character. It's like watching that Renee Zellweger Potter film. I think we reviewed it when she plays Beatrix Potter. I think we reviewed it on a very early show. It's very similar to that, but at least Beatrix Potter does something with her life because she lives. But again, she's a very boring character. She does nice books about bunnies, and she doesn't piss off anybody, doesn't annoy anybody. Same with Keats. He doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he even gets laid. So really, nothing happens to this guy. I feel kind of bad for him. He had to die, so yeah.
Thanks.
And that's really about it. What was his life?
His life was what, early...
19th century?
19th century, so it was the 1800s. So, yeah,
people like
that died early.
He was born in 1795 and died in 1821.
Yeah, but I felt bad. Something we can cure now.
I don't know, actually.
Ammonia. I think it was an ammonia from what I got from the movie.
Ammonia?
Because remember the doctor said it was too cold.
Well,
the winters were too cold for him, remember?
Yeah.
He had to go because the winters were cold.
That's what happened. Like,
all right. During 1820, he displayed serious symptoms of tuberculosis.
Which is curable now.
He suffered 2 lung hemorrhages in the first 2 days of February 1820. Lost blood, but bled further. And then he went and he convalesced in a number of places, hoping to get better. He ends up in Italy. It doesn't survive very long.
Yeah, so, like I said, nothing really that exciting. I give this movie a big thumbs down.
I'm a thumbs down for it, too.
Yeah, just don't rent it. I wouldn't even tell you to rent it.
Is there any touching on the relationship you had with Percy Shelley?
No. I don't think.
Romantic poet?
Is that the guy he's hanging out with, is Shelley? I don't think so.
Because he was apparently really good friends with...
then it must be Percy Shelley who's... Yeah, then that must be...
Lord Byron.
I think it's Lord Byron he hangs out with, isn't it?
It is Lord Byron.
I think he hangs out with... It's been a while since I've seen this film, so... I apologize.
All right. Well, so you guys didn't like it.
That was awful.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Skip.
Don't pick that up on Blu-ray, even for $4.
All right. Okay. Next film on our list is Faster, which Bob hasn't seen. But Simon and I did. It's directed by George Tillman Jr. and it stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Billy Bob Thornton, Tom Berenger, Maurizio Lopez, Carlo Gugino, Mike Epps, Maggie Grace, Moon Bludgett, that's a nice name.
Nothing wrong with her.
And Xander Berkeley.
Just to back up a bit of Moon Bludgett, they cut her scene in Terminator 3 where she's topless.
Oh, really?
To make it a PG-13 film.
Mm.
Really upset me. Still waiting for the director's cut of that to come out.
She's also coming out in a new one with...
she can come out in anything she wants. I will see it.
With Dr. Carter from ER.
I really liked her in that horrible Taye Diggs series, Daybreakers, Daytime.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that until they canceled 6 episodes. That was like the year they canceled every show I liked. Okay, Kevin, faster.
What was her role in this film?
I can't remember. Didn't she play his girlfriend or his wife or... something.
She was further down on the list, though.
Yeah,
I should probably. What did you think of Faster? I thought it was some bad 70s crime.
I went and saw it, and I really thought there was nothing redeeming about this movie. It's basically he goes to prison, right?
And comes out and
back to avenge the death of his brother.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, it's a revenge pick, and
but we've seen it done better.
Billy Bob Thornton is the cop that is relentlessly trying to get onto the case to stop it.
Yes.
And
he's having bad relations with his wife.
The witness thing I didn't see coming, but I kind of figured there was something going on with him in this case.
Because he wanted on it too badly, something had to happen.
Did you like him? Did you like his character?
I didn't like any of this movie. I thought it was very dull.
Yeah.
And they kept having those stop time footage before he killed somebody and watching him go faster because he's so much faster than everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was kind of dull. Kind of Matrix-y at times. During the kill scenes. Watching The Rock because he's so fast. Because he did faster. I thought it was really dull. Very skippable. I didn't find anything redeeming about this film. I've kind of forgotten it after watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I came out of going, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, okay. I paid to see it in the theater, and I really felt that it was a waste of my time.
But I feel that about most of the Rock movies. It's like The Game Plan, which was a Disney film. I think he's out of crap.
That's true. I mean, I don't understand how he chooses his roles. I mean, you know, he's good. He played an okay part in Get Smart. And he seems to have a similar part in The Other Guys, which I haven't seen yet.
The Other Guys is actually not a bad film.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll review it in a future episode.
I hope so. I just feel The Rock's career is just kind of going, he's never getting, he's trying to be the Michael Caine from 1970. It's not going to work. Those gritty films.
It started off fairly well. I mean, it did The Rundown and what was the other
one? See, I hated The Rundown too. I never thought it was a horrible or overacted film. You have Christopher Walken in The Rock.
Yeah.
And don't you have, what's his face? Stifler?
Stifler, yeah.
And they're both, all three are over actors. That's painful to watch.
True.
Ooh, I'm going to get you, cop. Okay, I'm going to get you first. Awful.
He's pretty relentless in his vengeance in this movie.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Did you like to see when how he dealt with the preacher?
You have to remind me.
Preacher who begs for his life.
And he pulls his brains out, doesn't he?
No, I don't think he lets him go.
No, he kills him. We don't know at the end.
No, I think he kills him.
I think he kills him. I honestly don't remember. I'm telling you, I've forgotten this film after watching it. I just hated it.
Well, I think
I remember more Bright Star than I do this.
All right, so forgettable and not worth correcting. I agree with you on that. Another movie we saw, Bob didn't see this one, but the Hugh Hefner biography.
But it doesn't have a different a special name, the Hugh Hefner and the Playboy?
I think it's called The Playboy.
The Playboy? I mean, Bob was asking what the proper name was, and I told him I could not remember.
So I was trying to look it up, just who directed it and who started it.
I thought this film was repetitious at times. Did you find that, Kevin? That you got to Hugh Hefner was very revolutionary, he wasn't a racist, he brought black comedians in.
There's some stuff the civil rights stuff I didn't know so much.
He was pretty heavily into civil rights, I thought. I was quite impressed with that. But I got to the point I didn't care anymore. They kept pounding that civil rights down your throat, in and out, and doing interviews.
Here it is. Hugh Hefner, Playboy, Activist, and Rebel.
That's it. That's the title.
Debbie and I watched this, and I'd be curious to see what she thinks of it, but I was entertained. I found this interesting. I find Hefner to be an engaging figure, much brighter than you would take him for, with a man who publishes a magazine about naked women. I mean, I always knew he was a smart guy. But I didn't realize just how intelligent and how motivated he is.
I think he's very motivated. And his Hugh Hefner articles he was writing and how in-depth he got into them.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they were called.
Yeah, you were used to write these essays almost. The Playboy Advisor.
Fascinating the way he started Playboy. He discussed how he got pictures from some guy that owned them. So the guy, he didn't own them.
Yeah.
He did. I always thought he took them.
One thing I thought was interesting, which they hardly touched on, is that Hefner's a bit of a geek. Did you see the shadow bust in the first scene?
I did.
And he's got originals from a number of cartoonists. Like, he was big friends with the fellow that created Plastic Man.
Yeah, Jack Cole.
Yeah, Jack Cole.
I just think Hefner's a I liked how he had all those books and was going through them and discussing them. And this, like I said, I was shocked how bright he was. I will give you full credit. Because then he hangs around with all these bimbos all day. And I have to call them bimbos because most of the ones I see in interviews or try to act are bimbos.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how he really is. It paints an interesting picture. He's an intellectual and an activist, a very smart businessman, very. But when it comes to love, he's a bit of a child. He doesn't know how to have a romantic relationship at an adult level with another human being. He has to look at it as, I think there were a couple of times he came close to having that kind of relationship.
I think he discussed, I think with his secretary he had that thing. Like on a very platonic relationship level with his secretary, because they seem to actually have love for each other.
Right.
I think that comes off a lot in the film, how much his secretary loves him and how much she loves her.
But he ends up with these multiple women that, and like he always has numbers of girlfriends around.
But I think he just likes, that's what he wants. And he can
and
have
he did get married and have children.
He did with his first wife, and that was it. And they broke up, because I've seen other documentaries on him, after he told them what they were doing at the office and how about the sex parties and stuff like that. She didn't want a part of that. Mm-hmm. So she left at that point.
Yeah.
So, no, I think this film is fascinating for about an hour. Maybe an hour 20, and then I don't need the extra half an hour.
I think I had some problems with the DVD that I had. It skipped a lot and stuff, but it was still very, I was engaged. I tried to clean it a few times. I didn't want to miss any of it.
Yeah. Well, see, I could have, I wish mine had skipped so I could have missed it. I just got bored. I thought they would get pounding with the same information over and over again.
I liked it quite a bit.
I did find the most interesting thing for me is how they bought that club in New Orleans, I think it was, or Miami. Because they wouldn't let black people in, and Playboy said, no, no, black people are allowed in here. Black people are allowed anywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that was in all of his clubs.
No, but he said that, but the New Orleans club, he didn't know.
I mean, you look at his television show in the late 50s.
That was phenomenal, the acts he had and how they wouldn't be on other shows. And acts I've never heard of, some of them.
And he would invite blacklisted writers to come in and have conversations with them.
Sammy Davis Jr. there, and this and that. Fascinating.
But giving him the dog, that was a...
yeah.
That was a, anyway, very good episode. So,
yeah. Good.
Interesting look, and so obviously it's really good, but Simon sort of half...
But no, I understand if you're into some of it. I knew maybe that was my problem. I knew some of this information, so it wasn't new stuff to me.
Okay. Well, the next movie on our list is Nowhere Boy, directed by Sam Taylor Wood, and it stars Aaron Johnston, Christy Scott Thomas, Jason Rowell, Josh Bolt, Philly and Bubba Bosch, creepy, Carrie Hayes, Sam Bell, and Thomas Brody Sangster. Bob, you've seen this one, so I think we've all seen Nowhere Boy. What do you think?
I saw it recently, actually. I got a little more than a quarter of the way through it before realizing that it was about...
the formation of the Beatles?
Thank you. And the only reason I got that far was because his aunt, Kristen Scott Thomas, character, said, John Lennon, I'm going, what? John Lennon, I'm here. And then people say...
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know this was? And I said, no.
Really?
Yes, really.
I can understand that, though.
I don't know. I guess I knew going in when it was a John Lennon pick. But
I didn't, because I had to ask you, when you recommended this to me to watch, I said, no, boy. I go, is that the John Lennon movie? And you said, yes. And if I had watched it, I wouldn't have known.
Mm.
I might have clued in with Paul and John and...
Well, this kid, Aaron Johnston, is that his name?
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Kick-Ass.
The guy from Kick-Ass, yeah. He just, like, he's John Lennon. I mean, it's
I was very impressed with how he looked and how he acted. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about the content of the movie, if it's real, I guess.
Well,
I guess it's presuming it.
I think it's based on his Liverpool youth, right? It's based on his relationship with his parents and his aunt. And the special relationship he had with his aunt, who was really his mother, in a sense, right? Because she looked after him. I don't know. I really thought this was something special. I thought this the performances were fantastic. And
well, I thought they were. Yeah. Like once I got past the not knowing what it was about, then I started enjoying the movie.
I thought Kristen Thomas blew me away. What a good actress she was in this.
She's usually good whenever I've seen her.
And I thought it was kind of weird at the beginning. I didn't know that was his aunt. No, an aunt. I thought he was going to have sex with his aunt. Like, I didn't know who she was. Right at the beginning. You know how she's kind of... Then we find out she's his mother. I didn't know any of this. All this was new information for me.
When he goes to see... Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of
interesting.
Julia, that's it.
And she's very flirty with him.
Yeah.
And you're like, is this... But we know this is his mother. Like,
see, I didn't know that.
I think if you knew it was John Lennon, then you knew that Julia was the name of his mother.
But I wouldn't have known that.
If you didn't,
I had no idea.
I could definitely see that. So, I think I said it before. It was very interesting watching the formation of the Quarrymen and his interest in
music. The Quarrymen I knew was a format before the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Paul McCartney was so small compared to John Lennon, but maybe that's just portrayed.
They were
really
just babies when they first started to play. I mean, they went to Hamburg and really, you know. Bobby, you okay?
Yeah.
It looks like he's just lounged out there having a...
Do you have anything to add about Nowhere Boy? Or?
No, it's really good. I recommend just seeing
it. Oh, what about the cinematography? I really enjoy those pier shots when they first get the hat and she's playing, they're doing like a snap shots.
I thought this was a very pretty movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. I really enjoy the cinematography in this film.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to give it a two thumbs up because I don't feel that strongly about it, but I think it's a solid movie. I'll give it a thumbs up.
I'm happy with two thumbs up.
I know you are, but you're a Beatles fan, and I'm not. So,
yeah.
And then this is where we're going to disagree.
Yeah.
I like to hear Bob's opinion because, I mean, I don't know if Bob's a Beatles fan or not. He grew up with the Beatles more than I did, more than you. And
well, you know what? Actually, you know what? It's a good idea. Good thing you mentioned that because, no, I was not a Beatles fan growing up.
Okay.
You know, they were from my...
So did you enjoy
the film? They sort of were on the down... They were sort of on the way to breaking up when I...
Well, you got to hear Wings and everything first coming out.
You know what? I didn't really listen to Wings.
Okay, well, that's fine. But, I mean, you would know...
I didn't... Like, I started listening to the Beatles more as I got older.
Okay.
And I got to know them through the movie Across the Universe.
Oh, okay. That's
great.
That's Kevin,
I'm
sure enjoyed that a lot.
That's how I started getting interested in the Beatles again. Because they played all the songs in the Across the Universe, I thought, that's not bad. So I listened to the Beatles after that, and this sort of
happened to
that.
If you're a Beatles fan, you get much more out of this movie than I can. And same with Across the Universe. I don't mind the Beatles. I don't have an issue. I'm starting to like them more now.
Really?
It's weird. It's like my Tom Hanks love affair. I'm starting to like Tom Hanks. Remember I told you I wouldn't watch Tom Hanks film for years?
Mm.
And now he was doing the show and exposing me to different films I haven't seen, watching Big and... I just recently started Saving Private Ryan. It's weird watching Tom Hanks for me because I like him now as an actor. And I see things I didn't see before and appreciate him as an actor.
Oh, okay.
Before when I used, because I only saw Joe versus the Volcano and The Volunteers and Bosom Buddy, and I just didn't like that. But that's what stopped me from watching him.
Okay.
But now I'm watching the thing, so that's like this. I don't know.
Cool.
All right.
Well, the next movie on our list is Tangled. Directed by Nathan Greenough and Byron Howard, and it stars the voices of Mandy Moore, Zachary Levy from Chuck.
Was that working?
Yeah, he's the star of Chuck. Donna Murphy, Ron Perlman. It's funny that voice comes on. I'm like, that's Hellboy. MC Gainey, Jeffrey Tambor, Brad Garrett, Richard Keel, Nathan Greenough, and Byron Howard again, the director.
They were voices in it.
So, this was Disney's 50th animated movie.
Yeah, but Pixar's doing it, though. The head of Pixar's doing this.
Right, John Lasseter is now head of Disney Animation.
Yeah, I know. Because when Pixar bought Disney, basically Pixar took over Disney's animation.
Disney
bought Pixar. The Pixar guys all took over.
Right, well, Pixar is still a unique place.
I realize
and,
that.
And they're not considered... They're considered Pixar films, which are something unique.
I know.
And they're separate from... Like, there's an interesting trailer on the Blu-ray for Tangled where they run through all of the 50 animated films and what qualifies. And I have an odd... I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm convinced that the animated computer-generated stuff should be considered the canon.
What do you mean? Give me an example, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Tangled is considered canon in the Disney film library.
But it's not me. It's not that cell animation. It's not that we made.
No, it's computer generated, and they consider Bolt
See, I wouldn't consider both either.
The dog in there. Yeah.
But maybe we have to include them because that's what the Disney films we're going to see now.
Well, they
shut
down their 2D animation. They brought it back for Princess and the Frog.
Which wasn't a great movie.
No, it was okay.
So Tangled. Bob, you like this? Is more, I mean, of men I know, this you would appeal to this, I think.
I would, but I have to say this is one of the first Disney movies that I didn't enjoy. I think it's because of the theater I saw it in.
Did you see it in 3D or no?
No.
I can't.
Or was it in like a Simon type theater? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And I think I might have to rent it again because I really didn't enjoy it. So maybe it's what I saw it in.
No, I find this, it was okay. I mean, I thought it was better than Princess and the Frog, but it didn't blow me away. I didn't think it was that stellar.
Well, maybe you have the right idea not watching previews, because when I saw the previews, this would be good. And then I saw the movie on, I don't know,
Kev. I mean, did this movie do anything? I thought it was okay.
You know what, I watched it just recently, and we liked it. We both enjoyed it.
Okay, because my wife enjoyed it a lot. Just, you know, I'm probably the positive.
I love that horse. That horse is awesome. Spartacus,
yes,
or whatever it is.
Yes,
yeah.
I think it's Spartacus.
He is an awesome horse. Right. Like when he does the bloodhound thing, and, you know, he's just brilliant.
Oh, I like when the goons are chasing after Jeffrey Levy all the time. Levy, through the, I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
I like the Wicked Witch at the end.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a nice twist, how the hair was keeping her alive
for
so long. And then the parts of this movie I did enjoy. I love the frying pan, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cute. But it just, it just didn't do anything.
It wasn't
for
quite the Rapunzel tale that you're familiar with, because they're...
But it's Disney. They never do. It was like watching Hercules recently. It's not the Hercules I would think of.
Yeah.
Probably Karen's take on this movie would be, like, she's the...
Oh, she'll love it.
Buff,
she's not here.
Yeah.
I think Karen's the animation, but the animation buff couldn't make it, so too bad for her. She had her chance. She should have emailed it and gave us her highlights of the movie. I would have read them. I don't know. I'm hot and cold on Tangled. I mean, my kid liked it.
Yeah.
You liked it. My wife liked it, and then Bob probably liked it. Bob says, well, and I'm always the okay guy, so I'm going to go with okay. I don't see anything in this movie to make me want to rewatch it.
Oh, okay. I thought there's some really spectacularly animated scenes in this.
I agree with you. I thought visually, again,
yeah,
very similar.
The candle in the sky.
That was for the festival?
That was
kind of cool. But no, again, maybe I should rewatch it with my kid. Maybe that's what I need to live a bit more through her.
Well, I don't know. I would say it's fun for the family. It's good adventure. It has a little bit of... You okay? All right. Everybody's turning a red face to me.
Oh, well, that's the way it goes. No, I think Tangled's good for kids and Kevin. So you're good to go.
Kids and Kevin. There you go. All right. Well, we're going from a Disney, potential Disney classic to a not a classic.
Softcore porn?
Deep in the Valley, starring, directed by Christian Schwartz, starring Scott Conn, Benjamin Hines, Chris Pratt, Phoenix Richards, Christopher McDonald, Rachel Spector, Kate Albrecht. Is that Tracy Morgan, Kim Kardashian, Blanca Soto. Wow. I mean, what could be said about Deep in the Valley?
Thanks, Kevin.
I saw it on Netflix, and I watched it on Netflix a few months ago. And Bob spared himself from this torture.
Why, Kevin?
So, the good basically...
Oh, let's discuss this premise, because this
the
is
the premise
problem.
Is that they're two losers, right? One likes porn a lot.
Well, I think they both like porn.
They both are okay, but one...
They both like porn.
Once he wins a porn booth, an old-style one where you put the
show,
quarters in, and the movie comes on, and it turns out that, I don't know, it shows the classic movies by this one director, the guy from...
Christopher McDonald.
Yeah, Christopher McDonald from Happy Gilmore and other movies. And, you know what I mean?
I'm with them. I'm letting them go.
So,
I'm trying
anyway,
to see what you
for whatever
this
reason,
plot.
The magic porn booth transports them to the porn valley.
No, they transport them into the film.
Yeah.
They go into, they're watching Sorority Girls or something.
Right.
Like
they wake up in the land of the porn.
Yes.
Where these hot girls are jumping around all you know, and porn premises are left, right, and center. And
well, Denise Richards is in it, so you know it's got to
be. They ring the doorbell, and, you know, the pizza guy automatically gets laid. And,
yeah.
You know, just, it's like a porn premise, right?
It totally is.
You
and
know, it's just
Scott Conn's trying to bust
them. Yeah, right. And he's gay. Yes. He's like gay stuff, right?
Yeah.
He wants to totally bust their ass.
Yeah.
And anyway, so it just keeps going on and on. And Tracy Morgan, I guess, is the black porn king.
Yes.
And, you know, I just...
Come on, you didn't discuss relevant. I can't remember one of the guys, Christopher McDonald's is his dad, so he stays. The married guy goes back.
He falls in love with the porn star. And
This movie is horrible, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
horrible.
But, you know, it was one
this
of those,
is great F.
One of those movies that I wanted you to endure.
Yeah, because everything I subjected you to is that this movie's crap.
About time.
I think you'd rather watch Tangled over this.
I bet you Bob wouldn't like it if he did.
Oh, God, no. Nobody. I don't know why this movie is made. Somebody have $50 to throw at something?
Yeah, I guess.
This movie's awful. Now I know Denise Richards has no career left.
Yeah.
You just described why I wouldn't watch the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. Awful, awful, awful,
right,
awful,
well,
awful,
let's,
awful
let's,
movie.
Crack open the vault.
Crunch.
And it's time for another visit to the video vault. And first up is a classic, Forbidden Planet. Directed by, I'm not sure, but it stars Leslie Nielsen, Robbie the Robot, Walter Goodman, Anne Francis, Richard Anderson, Warren Stevens. I remember him as Rogan from Star Trek, the original series, also in a lot of 60s and 70s TV shows. Like by the end of the time tunnel. That sidebar by Bob. Thank you. Earl Holloman, policewoman on TV series, George Wallace, Barbara Dix, etc., etc. Wow, Forbidden Planet, The Tempest, basically, in space.
Is it?
Yeah.
You think so? I've never read The Tempest, so I wouldn't know.
Shakespeare's The Tempest, yeah.
I'm with you.
I've never read The Tempest either.
This movie's fantastic. I just want to say that right ahead.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I think you put it on the list, didn't you? What a great choice.
I think Bob watched this. Bob had it and he put it on the list. So.
No, I got it from your pile.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember
that
pile of movies you're going to get rid of? I took it out of that because I always wanted to see this.
Yeah.
Absolutely, one of those movies I've always been fantastic. Even for I love this movie.
Oh, were you going to get rid of this?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
oh.
I guess you buy a new Blu-ray.
No,
because
I have it on Blu-ray now.
Whoa.
This movie.
So you don't want this movie back.
Do you want it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's
we'll
good.
Have this conversation later. This movie's excellent.
Well,
I think
it's part of the review.
Oh, is it? Okay, go ahead,
Scott,
Bob.
I'm enjoying.
I'm letting you go. Go.
Okay.
Talk.
Well, I enjoyed Forbidden Planet. It's the first time I've ever seen it. In what? It was a 1959 movie? Eight? Whatever.
Yeah. How did you miss that?
I don't know.
It's like 56, I think.
56. So it's a 54-year-old movie.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I've seen it because it's really good. I heard it was like, well, okay, really good for its time because I looked at the ship they go in. It's a like small little disc. I'm like, really? But then, like, the story itself was good. I enjoyed it, so.
Well, I thought it was interesting. They actually flew in the flying saucer.
Yeah. But, the inside of that flying saucer was like, there was more room in the flying saucer inside than there was outside.
And also,
it's a scam.
And the 50s comedy when they have the robot making the guy alcohol.
Yeah.
For the chef. I thought that was kind of strange, like those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I thought it had a little bit of, you would not see that nowadays in a science fiction movie, have that random comedy, just totally nothing to do with the film at all. Let's just put that in there.
Yeah.
And watching Leslie Nielsen play a straight man was kind of different for me.
And he actually had not white hair. That's the first time I've ever seen him with
And Anne Francis was definitely not hard in my eyes.
Oh, those costumes are great.
Oh, I think this movie's fantastic.
But when you heard, what was the Walter Pigeon character? Because when I first heard his voice, I'm going, hey, I know that guy. And
doesn't he play the scientist?
Yeah.
Doesn't he play the evil scientist? Well, he's
not
really
evil,
though.
Evil, but he was on it, like, I saw him, the first time I saw him was on a voice to the C movie, which I don't think you've seen.
I've never seen Voice of the C. For that, there was
the movie or the TV show.
I've never seen either.
Oh.
So I just thought this premise was good. I mean, it was pretty fresh to me for that time of year. Like, you don't really see a lot of stuff like this in this time. Maybe Space Jam and Robinson, you might have seen an episode of that, maybe.
Well, I mean, I think Lost in Space.
No, okay.
The robot is sort of went on to Lost in Space.
Yeah, he did. Right? Definitely see that. But I thought the robot was good. I thought the premise was good. I liked the monster.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything was great about this film. I strongly recommend anybody to see it that haven't seen it.
Well, Monster Be It.
Yeah, I really don't. Well, I like how they went down. I like the end of the film. I just think it's a solid movie.
It's a great movie. It's a classic. Really,
yeah,
is a classic.
It really is good, though.
Well, I'm glad, because I'm amazed that you guys haven't seen this movie in all those years.
Sorry, Kev. You know,
I'm surprised as well. But
I'm watching Arthur. I'm so busy. Just couldn't get
to it. Arthur. There we go.
I have to.
Classics.
We'll get into that soon, I hope.
Now, the next movie, you haven't seen this one, right, Bob?
No.
This has been around for a while, right? It's still on the list. Gimme Shelter, directed by Albert and David Mazels, stars Ron Wood, Keith Richards, Mick Ragger, Mick Jagger, and Mick Taylor as the Rolling Stones. And this is it's sort of a concert film. Was intended to be a concert film. And it ends up being sort of a testament to the time changes that were going on between... Like, if you look at Woodstock as being the highlight of 1968-69...
This is the next evolution.
This is the low light. This is rock turning ugly. This is things heading in an interesting direction. And the Rolling Stones, obviously... Like, they play oblivious in this movie.
Yeah, they do.
They decide that they're going to throw... They want to put on the next Woodstock.
They did.
So they decide to have a concert in San Francisco.
Yeah, at Golden Gate Park.
Yeah, which gets turned down.
Yeah, they had to move it for some reason.
The guy that ran the Altamont Motor Speedway...
He said, yeah, we'll take them, no problem.
Was that?
Oh.
Because he wanted it for publicity. I think it was all about...
Because that was rare. Okay, now I've got a reference for that.
Someone decided, for whatever reason, they offered, and they took him up on this, to have the Hell's Angels act as the security force.
I think because they were cheap.
Well, yeah, they were cheap. There was, like, basically beer and,
well, that's
and access to the stage.
Well, that's why they did it, right?
So,
because it doesn't tell you why the Hell's Angels were there, but you get the kind of thing, it was just cheap.
But, yeah, so it starts up, it's all lead up to getting to this point, and then you see Mick Jagger watching the film in the end, and you know, all of a sudden it goes, this is where it's going to get bad. And you start watching the concert footage, and you can see little fights breaking out from the stage. And
well, you hear Chopster Airplane saying, please, don't hit each other. We'll keep going. And they have that, I think Country Joe and the Fish were there too.
Yeah.
They don't sing their big song.
No.
And the Ike and Tina were horrible. What was that horrible song?
Yeah.
Like, really? They had a hit? Because that wasn't a hit. Tim and Country Joe, they played some random song.
Yeah.
And Jefferson Airplane was horrible, too.
Yeah, that wasn't the greatest concert.
Like, the concert looked horrible. Even the Stones concert looked kind of dull.
Well, they had people up on stage that looked obviously stoned.
Yeah, oh yeah.
With their skull, and, I don't know, I just thought...
Well, I thought the random fighting when the Hell's Angels are beating the guy down with the pool cue.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, no, we didn't do anything.
Now, of course, the big moment is when the one fellow
tries to shoot
Dunn
and tries to shoot Jagger.
Yeah, and then they kill him. They beat him to death.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, on camera, and they slow it down, they go, if you look here, this is where all the bad stuff is happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, so things really start to go downhill with this.
Oh, the Hell's Angels. We see them the whole time punching people in the face and this and that, and they're running on stage. And
the Stones really have to bear some blame for this, because they really were negligent in their play.
I don't think the Stones had any idea what was going on. Yeah. I agree, negligent, but they weren't dealing with it. Because all the shots were their lawyer talking to the promoter.
Well, I think it was a big change in rock and roll, because I think after that point, they had to assume control over where things were. They had to be much more aware of
you can see
how
that
things were being organized, and they couldn't just be, I'm going to decide to do this.
Exactly.
Put it together, and you don't do that anymore.
Right? I'm with you. I totally can see that.
You hire proper security guards, you hire proper,
Well, I think they have to.
Yeah, you know.
Now, was Altamont Speedway, I should have guessed that it's more research on this, was considered a successful concert?
Not at all. It's probably considered one of the low lights. And,
because of the death?
Yeah.
But I mean,
it's like the extreme opposite of Woodstock. If Woodstock was about peace, love, and good music,
this was not.
This was about violence, anger. And
okay, that's what I was getting. That's what I was thinking.
And death.
Okay, because they had six births and six deaths, I think. There, they said.
Yeah, it was just overwhelmingly, and everybody walked away from it like, I can't believe I just watched this. What just happened here?
Yeah, because
everything went horribly wrong.
I thought the concert stunk.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, chewed out people. Oh, you gotta stop playing for a moment.
Yeah, it was just, I couldn't care less. It was kind of weird seeing how young they were and this and that, and Mick signing stuff when he got out of his trailer, like surrounded.
Yeah.
Never see that stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
Totally wouldn't happen.
Indeed.
Okay, we have one final film.
Final film. This has been a quick episode.
Yeah, without
Judy
the girls.
Silent Bob.
We're back to our normal levels. Of,
I guess they probably throw in a couple of movies.
Without those girls, we're good to go. We can throw in a couple of movies.
Jay and Violet showed Silent Bob, Strike Back, directed by Kevin Smith. Stars Kevin Smith, Jason Wu, Ben Affleck, Sharon Elizabeth, Eliza Dushku, Ali Larder, Will Ferrell, Jason Lee, George Carlin, Chris Rock, Carrie Fisher, Sean William Scott, Brian O'Halloran, Jennifer Schwalbach Smith, Judd Nelson, Mark Hamill, James Vanderbeek, John Stewart, Jules Asner, Wes Craven, Shannon Doherty, Tracy Morgan, Diedrich Bader, Alanis Morissette, Matt Damon, Jason Biggs, and a lot more. Bob, you didn't see this one. Never saw it when it came out.
I saw it once, so I saw about 10 minutes of it, and I didn't like it, so I gave up on it. I never wanted to watch it again, but
okay,
I didn't
do
get
want
the chance.
Do you want to discuss this movie?
I think this was the last
it was
good Kevin Smith movie.
See, I didn't think
Kevin
it was...
Smith?
I thought it was... Oh, the parts of it I thought were very funny.
Right.
But I found it was just so overworked with everybody being in it. And I had to think that really screwed up the timeline. I thought the parts with the three diamond themes were great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole beginning of the movie was fine.
Yeah.
My problem start is when they get to Hollywood. And Chris Rock, it just drove me nuts. And then Brandon Fricker's there. And then
directing the...
And that's when my issues start. My issues lie in the last third of this movie. I just don't like it.
To me, this movie wraps up all of the... silliness of the...
No, Clerks 2 is next. We still have Clerks 2 to go.
I know, but I don't consider Clerks 2 to be very good. It's almost like an apology.
No, I didn't like Clerks 2 at all.
But this movie really wraps up all the whole Jay and Silent Bob story.
It does. I'm with you.
It goes through, you know, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy. I don't know. I mean, I do like this movie. And Dogma, of course. I forgot Dogma. I do like this movie. It has a key. There's a certain silliness and honesty about it, but the stuff with the jewel thieves, I thought was really good.
I like that. Joe Quesada.
Yeah.
Delivering pizzas.
Yeah.
I like those little cameos. You have to look for them. I mean,
yeah.
Quesada, if you didn't know what he looked like, you had no idea that was Joe Quesada.
Yeah.
He used to be really cut, too, when I first met him, like, skinny and cut.
Oh, yeah. He was a big man at that point, but he's lost a lot of weight. I saw him in Chicago.
Oh, has he gone back to his old stuff?
He's in good shape, yeah.
Good.
I think for health reasons, too.
So what did you think of this? I know you like this more than I do, because we've had this discussion in the past when the comments came out.
I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
I like it.
I love the whole, when they beat up Bloodman and Chronic to take the costumes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
James Vanderbeek and the guy from America
Pie. Yeah, you're the pie guy, right?
Pie fucker.
Yeah, pie fucker, yeah, that's pretty much Jason Biggs.
Yeah.
I just found this movie's just like Kevin Smith. It just fumbles here and fumbles there and ends up at the end.
All right. Well, I mean, I would recommend it if you like Kevin Smith.
If you like Kevin Smith, then you have to see it, though.
Yeah, it's
I mean, and I do like Kevin Smith, and I have seen it
obviously,
twice,
you want to see the others first. You've got to watch Clerks. You've got to see
Mallrats.
Jason
Danny. Well, because they all relate. Because they, remember, they go see Balky right at the beginning and discuss Chasing Amy stuff.
Right.
Okay, well, since we have some extra time, Cap, do you want to do some stuff that's been on this list for?
Well, no, why don't we run through what we bought?
Okay, I had one thing I do want to dive and discuss.
Okay.
I want to discuss Rock and Roll High School, because Bob's never seen it, and I always want to do it. Nobody else needs to watch it but me.
Well, I've seen it.
Can we do Rock and Roll High School now? Do you mind?
Yeah, sure, we can do Rock and Roll.
Because I've been dying to talk to you about Rock and Roll High School.
All right, so it's the Ramones, a Roger Corman film.
Oh, is it? I didn't know it was a Roger Corman film.
It came out in the around the late 70s. So, I don't know, what do you think of
I love this movie.
You loved it?
Oh my God, a movie I never heard of, and I'm like, rock and roll high school. I thought this movie was
pretty cool. You knew the song from before, right?
I'm a big Ramones fan. Really enjoy the Ramones, and I thought this movie was so light and so much fun. It would have been a perfect drive-in movie. You can't film seriously at any time. But I like how her friend lines up to get Ramone tickets, and you see her sitting outside for like a week to get the tickets, and then she gets tickets, and she can't get her songs into Ramones because the manager won't take them, and the other one's the number one fan.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ramones go, what? They finally go to her school and play at her school. I just thought this movie was fantastically fun.
Yeah, it was over the top and silly, but it was fun.
Oh, you can't take this movie seriously. The music could have been played rock, rock, rock. I like how they're all...
From Eating Raoul, isn't it?
Yes. I like how the principal's all upset because they're listening to the Ramones, and everybody hates the Ramones. It's such a... just a fun film, though. It's one of those films, I think if you're a film buff, you've never seen it.
Yeah.
You really need to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's just fun.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit, I bought it on Blu-ray because they put it in a new special.
I'd never heard of it.
Oh, yeah? That's why I guess it got under the list because they said, I saw one Rock and Roll Ice Cream. You're like, what's that?
Yeah, I have to say it. I just thought it was one of those fun movies. There's not really much to say about it. The chick gets kicked out of school, but she writes.
Yeah.
I like when they're doing the exercise to Rock and Roll High School. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school.
Well, there's a song in the film when she's sort of in her room. It's kind of a slower rock song, and the band are in various places around her room. And she looks out the window and walks around, lies on her bed. Just really, it was like a rock video. It was a total rock video.
I liked watching the Ramones in concert. I thought it was great. They played tons. I knew all the songs. I just really liked this film.
Oh, cool. Well,
I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. I really recommend it. It's kind of a fun movie. And, if you're interested in the Ramones and music of the Ramones.
I think it's a fun movie to go.
There's a great documentary in the Blu-ray where they talk about how the film came together, and it's just...
I like when they trashed the school.
It was originally a disco movie.
Really?
Well, they just basically said, what are we going to make this about? Well, we'll do a disco movie. And they're like, no, this is rock and roll. We've got to get a rock and roll band. Well, I know the Ramones. One guy says, all right. So they do the Ramones as the feature.
And they work perfectly.
Yeah, well, that was awesome. Good film.
Okay, what did you buy this week, Kev?
Well, what did you buy? Your pile is much smaller.
I only have two movies. I found two movies.
You buy something. You never buy
it. I do. I buy stuff all the time at the Salvation Army for 99 cents.
There you go.
So I picked up a couple things.
What'd you get?
I picked up Silverado.
That's quite a hefty box on the Silverado.
And Silverado. Hold on, I'm looking at the Silverado box now. Yeah, I picked up for 99 cents, unopened.
99 cents?
Yeah, I returned to Silverado with Kevin Costner, exclusive new featurette. Along the Silverado Trail, Western History's Commentary. But my favorite part, Kev, I know you've watched this part. A History of Western Shootouts, narrated by John Cleese.
Yeah, that was fun.
And, I mean, it comes with a Silverado playing cards.
Yeah.
And a special 20-page original movie scrapbook.
Yeah.
All for 99 cents.
Yeah.
I could not buy
this. I used to have that. I sold the cards in the scrapbook somewhere.
And just for Bob, I picked up from Justin to Kelly Clarkson and Justin Garrity, film from American Idol Season 1.
Wow.
Can't wait to watch this.
Bob's looking at me like... What?
Really?
Bob, did you buy anything?
What did you buy, Bob?
Yes, I did.
Oh, what did Bob buy?
Did you bring it with him? What?
Did you bring the disc?
No, I didn't. But I will next time.
Okay.
I bought season 2 of a TV series. Mm-hmm. And I know this is not a TV series podcast, but I bought it anyway. Season 2 of the Brady Bunch.
Bob, can you discuss anything?
All right. Anyway. And then, to bug Simon, I bought Letters to Juliet.
Uh-huh. Oh. Well, I'm talking to one Amanda Simon.
It was on sale, and it was there, so I didn't buy it.
I'll watch it. You know, maybe watch the Miley Cyrus movie.
But I didn't buy that one.
No, but I did watch it.
Uh-huh. All right.
They make it, so I'm going
to
watch
it. You watched it, yeah.
Can't wait to discuss Ball.
What did Kevin get?
Kevin,
when did you find the time?
I don't know.
Is this your lunch hour?
I moved, too.
I know. Like, how do you have time to buy movies at your lunch?
I walk over to Best Buy.
I'm supposed to eat lunch on lunch?
I don't eat lunch. All right, Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker on Blu-ray.
I've seen, was that the uncut thing?
Yeah, it was the uncut version.
Okay, that was good. That was dark.
It was very good. Tim Drake was the Joker. I blew it all for you.
Oh!
I got The Venture Brothers, the complete season 4 on Blu-ray.
Of what?
Of who?
The Venture Brothers.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
You've never seen The Venture Brothers?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You serious?
Yes.
You don't know who The Venture Brothers are?
No.
Do you? Oh, man, you guys are really missing out.
What's The Venture Brothers?
The Venture Brothers is a Cartoon Network animated series. It's part of their Adult Swim.
Oh, okay.
All right? And it's like Johnny Quest on drugs. It's like, you know Johnny Quest, it was Ray Bannon and...
it's called The Venture Brothers, right?
Yeah.
I'm writing this down to go home and look at this.
So, a similar premise in the 60s. It was Dr. Venture and his son, Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and his son, Venture. And Rusty is now an adult, has been super scientist. He's no longer a boy adventurer.
Okay.
His father's long dead. He has two sons, Hank and Dean, and they have a bodyguard, Brock Sampson, played by... Brock Sampson is awesome. He has like a mullet, a blonde mullet, and he drives in the car and listens to sweet rock and roll. Anyway, so they go on these adventures. They have... He has an arch enemy. Dr. Venture's arch enemy is the Monarch, who's a guy with a butterfly costume, and he flies around in a giant hive.
And this is season
with
4?
Henchmen. This is season 4 of
So I have 3 seasons, 4 seasons
four
of
Four seasons of
A show I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get to it.
Watch an episode. See if you can find episode 1.
I'll find it.
Tell me what you think. Because
okay.
You know, Rock and Roll High School was an eye-opener for you. You're
okay.
in love.
2 weeks, I don't get back to you about Venture Brothers.
I know you well enough. You're going to love it.
Okay,
you're
keep going.
Addicted to this. All right. Well, I got The Black Swan.
Ooh. On Blu-ray.
On Blu-ray.
That's a weird box for Blu-ray.
It is? Well, it's like the outer sleeve.
I know.
So, going to watch that when I'm in a better mood. AI, Artificial Intelligence.
Yeah, because I have your copy of the other one still
yep.
to watch.
Yep. So there you go. Once you can watch it, you can review it.
You know why I'm avoiding it, because I can't stand that director.
Oh, and really?
Not Spielberg, the other guy that was supposed to direct
it.
It
was, supposed to be, what's his name?
Yeah, it's the guy name will not
I finally got a copy of...
The Town on Blu-ray? You couldn't find it?
Well, it was too expensive before. Now it's cheaper. So
$15?
$20.
That's not bad. It'd be 15 next week.
So I hear you guys both liked it, so I want to watch it.
You haven't watched that one?
No.
I think you'll enjoy it. I know you well enough so you'll enjoy it. I don't think you'll ever want to part with it.
This is an interesting film that I haven't watched yet. It's called Renaissance. And it's an animated film starring the voice of Daniel Craig.
Oh, see, there's one I've seen that you found a movie I haven't seen. Or heard of.
Jonathan Price, Ian Holm.
How do you find movies I haven't heard of, Kevin?
I saw it mentioned, it's a French film that's adapted to English.
Aha, French film, foreign.
But it has a kind of a graphic novel come to life feel to it. Sort of
I'm going to watch it. Yeah.
Sin City.
Because I know you have the Micmacs on the list, so I finally found a copy of the library.
Micmacs, awesome.
The library's got a copy, I'm on the list for it.
The Ten Commandments.
I've seen that years ago.
Charlton Heston.
It's a great movie. Great movie.
Yep.
I have to rewatch it. I've seen bits of it over the years. I have watched it.
Yeah.
They have it on like every Easter or something.
Batman the Brave and the Bold, season 1, part 2. the other half of the first
season. It's good. I enjoyed it. I liked it better than I liked the first half.
This has got Mayhem of the Music Meister on it.
It's really good. One of the greatest episodes. It's really good.
Tangled.
So you did like it that much.
Yeah, well, that's how I saw it. I bought it and watched it. Mad Men Season 4.
Fabulous show. I haven't watched Season 4 yet. I'm still on Season 3. I'll be there soon. Have you watched Season 4 yet?
I've watched 2 episodes. I haven't watched
Okay, so you're way ahead of me.
And then I got the massive Tron, Ultimate Tron Experience.
Why? You hated Tron Legacy.
I know. It's got Tron.
Does everybody getting run over by a lawnmower in it?
No, I don't think so.
You know exactly
what
I'm
talking about. It's a lawnmower, man.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
That was the last episode I saw of Mad Men. The lawnmower episode.
Okay. The lawnmower. Wow.
I love that episode.
Yeah, don't fire up the lawnmower at your Christmas party.
That was fantastic. No, it was the 4th of July party.
So this has got Tron Legacy. It's got a 3D version. I don't have a 3D TV, so that's kind of
weird. I've seen one. Have you guys seen a 3D TV yet?
I've seen them in stores, though.
No, a friend of mine has one. So and I've seen Aliens in 3D.
Isn't that
Ron? Yeah, my friend Ron has one.
Aliens.
What it has, he has a Blu-ray DVD player with an upscaler to turn everything into 3D.
Wow.
And it's weird watching Aliens in 3D. So everything's in 3D for me. Mm-hmm. So it adds depth to movies. I don't know if I love it,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of weird seeing an upscaler into everything in the 3D. So everything you watch is 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a 3D movie.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched about 10, 15 minutes, and I watched 10 or 15 minutes of a non-3D movie in the 3D.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I have to give you a better answer once I watched the whole one.
Now, I also went to Blockbuster.
I thought they closed down.
I went to one downtown on College Street, and I got 6 movies for $30 on
Blu-ray.
That's
really good. On Blu-ray?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All of them are crap.
It's all right. What'd you
get? Gunless, which I'm going to add to the list for you guys to watch.
Why? I've been avoiding that for months.
Can't.
Paul Gross.
Gunless, and I got The Informant.
The Matt Damon movie.
Which we haven't reviewed.
You never reviewed it?
No.
Okay. I've seen it.
Now I can see it to review it.
Good. Put it on the next episode.
Jennifer's Body, which we did review.
Why? Did you want to just see Megan Fox and Blu-ray?
That's basically it.
Because Amanda Seyfried doesn't look that good in that one.
No. The Final Destination.
Good, we can finally review that. We've seen that. Is that the first one?
No, that's the last one.
Okay, then I've seen it. No, because the fifth one's coming out this summer.
Oh, really? I thought it was called The Final Destination.
No, they got another one. 5's coming out this summer.
Pandorum.
Oh.
Did we review that?
We did review it, yes. No, we've done Pandorum.
You have?
We have done that,
do it, so.
No, maybe we haven't. Okay,
no,
we haven't,
because it's still on. I've still got it.
No.
That doesn't mean a thing.
And then Gamer.
Oh, why?
Which we did review it.
Horrible movies, Kevin.
Oh, I know. These are awful. That's why they were $5 each on Blu-ray. You know, if I'm watch them again, and if I really can't stand
them, just trade them in for more Bounty Hunter.
Trade them in for $5. Okay.
Bounty Hunter. The American.
The other ones.
How many hundred you American?
So I don't know if that was all 6, but anyway, I don't remember what the other one was. So that was my big stack of stuff that I bought.
Sounds great.
In the meanwhile, I moved to this new luxurious studio here.
Which I will walk around in a few minutes and check out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm out of here.
Well, I'm Kevin.
Well, I'm intern.
And I'm Simon. And if they make it...
Simon forces us to watch it, review it.
Yeah.